Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
What's up, everybody? Fred, Ryan, back from our little one-week hiatus. We had to escape the pandemic quarantine, get a little rest and relaxation. Didn't have us on the show for Birdland BS last week, so didn't have a segment to release for you. But we're back this week with another segment from Birdland BS. Again, for those of you that don't know, Birdland BS is our parent company. They're the reason we started this. Tuesday nights, live 7:30, anywhere you can stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We put out a show of all Baltimore sports. Ravens very heavy, Orioles and Terps. It got to the point where we had so much Terps coverage going on that we kind of spun it off into this extra Terps segment. Because as you know, the Terps, especially Terps football, is my first love. Love the basketball team as well. And that's how Shell and Tell was born. Shell and Tell is going to make up for that missed episode last week. We are recording later this week. You're really going to want to tune in for this one. Some big news coming your way. Got some really cool stuff developing in the Shell and Tell world. You're going to want to tell your friends you were here on the before it all got big. You know what I'm saying? This week on Birdland BS segment that I'm about to play for you, we had a special guest, Joseph Bowers. He's an NFL agent with First Down Sports. He actually had the opportunity among many people that he did sign this year. He interviewed Jake Funk to try to be his representation. Was engaged with them. Ended up, Jake signed elsewhere, but still had some cool interactions with him. Got to know the kid well. So he gave us a nice inside look on what he sees as Jake's NFL future. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Really cool insights. That's pretty much all I got. Like I said, I'm going to talk to you guys later this week. We had some pretty cool experiences down at the College Park this weekend, picking up our cardboard cutouts. And looking forward to the future of real people being in the stadium. Enjoy this week's recording of Birdland BS.
All right, let's talk some Shell and Tell, Ryan. Let's talk some Terps. Obviously, the Terps basketball hoops dreams came to an end. They played two games. They ended up winning the game against UConn, which I didn't have them winning against UConn. They played a good game there.
Jeremy Kahn was double wrong.
Yeah, he was. He was. But...
He's
you go
like
up
me.
Against...
Shouldn't gamble on the Terps. I should never do that.
Right. Round of 32, though, man, you hit a hot as hot could be Alabama squad, throwing up shots from midcourt. I mean, everywhere they
couldn't miss a three.
They
50%
miss.
From three.
Yeah, could not miss from anywhere. I really don't think that the Terps had much luck beating that Alabama or anybody that night.
Alabama would have beat Gonzaga that night. No
exactly.
problem. I mean, you're not only are they 50% from three. They were 50% on 33 three-point attempts. This wasn't like a low number that it's just like a random. That's an average there at that point.
Right.
And then they also were 100% from the free throw line. They went 10 for 10. Both those numbers were cut in half for Alabama the next game.
Right.
They hit 25% of their threes, the same similar number of attempts. I think it was like 27, 28 attempts.
Right.
And they were only 25% from the free throw line. You put those numbers against us, and we're right in it. I mean, we scored more points than we had scored pretty much all year. I think that was the highest amount of points we scored all year.
Right.
But you just couldn't keep up with somebody that can hit a three from anywhere in the gym and well defended.
Yeah.
There were probably only two or three of those threes that was like a wide open look. Everybody else was right in your face.
Yeah, but again, the Terps, one of the better defensive teams in the country.
Could not slow it down.
Couldn't slow it down, so... Listen, to me, even getting to the round of 32 was a successful season, in my opinion.
One win in both tournaments, that's about what we were looking for.
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations for this team to even make the tournament. To put up the kind of year that they did, again, considering they were playing an all Big Ten schedule the whole way through and knowing how tough this conference, well, at least how tough we thought the conference was. They didn't have a great showing.
Shot. If Michigan wins it, we still can say it was good.
I can't hope for a Michigan win.
I don't want Dickinson to do anything, but if it saves the Big Ten, go for it.
Did you guys see, I don't know if you watched last week, did you see the piece from Daryl Morsell, his press conference after the game, and just the outpouring of emotion from him and his what really seemed to be his true leadership for this team?
Yeah, I mean, this was his senior year, right? This was supposed to be his last goodbye, his last ride.
As a local Maryland. Hometown kid, this is not how you wanted to do it.
Yeah, right, you're sure. But, you know, because of COVID and because of the exception they made, he still does have a 1 year of potential eligibility. So let's talk about what this squad might look like next year. You know, obviously the names that we know are gone for sure. Reese Mona, Galen Smith.
Reese Mona's gone on to bigger and better things. He got signed with a banking company of some kind.
Yeah, not T. Rowe Price, but
he's a finance manager.
Yeah,
yeah.
He had some big time hookup. They were bragging about
Merrill Lynch.
Mid-season.
Maybe?
Merrill Lynch, I think it was.
Yeah. So he's on to his next career, literally. Yeah.
If he works half as hard there as he did with the Terps, he'll be doing just fine.
Yeah, for sure. So Galen Smith, another one that's more than likely gone, even though he does have the extra year of eligibility. I haven't heard anything of him coming back in any kind of way. Daryl Morsell, I guess, is the big question mark, right? Does he come back? What's his pro stock like? Honestly, I don't think he has much of a resume to make an NBA career, and this is no shot at Daryl Morsell. He's just a little undersized. He's not a very good offensive player. And I don't know how much his good college defense translates to the NBA game. The NBA game's a total different basketball game.
But he could go play in Europe, China, Australia, make decent money.
Exactly. And that's kind of the trend that we've seen over the last few years with a lot of former Terps going overseas and playing. Matter of fact, I saw a stat yesterday. Des Wells scored like 57 points and 49 points his last two games.
Yeah, 102 points in two games.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
I think that's the league you got to go in to show off, apparently.
But then you've also got some other guys that are on the fence. You got Chole Merrill, which I think his Terp days are numbered just because I don't think.
From what we're hearing, it looks like it. I'm a little sad, honestly. I just kind of felt like.
Sad because you had expectations.
I had expectations originally, okay. And then I had reset my expectations that, like, this injury obviously has affected him. Like, you don't get a 5-star rating looking lost on the court like he has the last 2 years. It just doesn't. So the missed time in his junior and senior year of not playing and then this injury in this freshman year had reset him mentally. So in my mind, I was looking for him to be like a 4-year like player, and then on like his senior year, like Checo, all of a sudden his senior year was dropping 10 for us in, you know, 11 minutes a game. Something like that.
Was it that, or was it when he was on the court, it almost seemed pace of the game to me.
Oh, he was
like he just could not keep up with the pace of the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. Big Ten basketball is not for Chole. Like he's going to go to a much smaller school somewhere else, and he'll probably succeed in a smaller level where the game's a little bit slower. And
I don't know
thing.
If he ever saw a playbook before he showed up with us because he just looks completely
just passing
lost
the ball.
The
Yeah.
Just give the giant man that can hit a three a ball. That's it.
Right. So more than likely, Chole Merrill will transfer out. I guess the big name that everybody wants to know what's going to happen, Aaron Wiggins, right? I think out of all the Terps, he's probably got the best pro prospect. I don't know that he gets drafted even.
I think he ends up same place that Morsell would if he leaves.
He's got a better shot at the G League, though.
I can't remember what I who said it. So I'm just quoting anonymous here, which is annoying. I guess I shouldn't do it. But somebody was asked whether Wiggins is coming back next year, and they said, well, where else would he be? He's not getting drafted.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel too. And it's, you know, it's a shame because when he puts his best foot forward, there's no telling how talented he is offensively, right? Yeah. But the problem was he was just so inconsistent with that. You know, there were some games where he was on like that, some games where he put the effort in, and there was other games where he just kind of fell in
and
the
I feel
shadows.
Like his last 2 months, he was a lot more consistent. But is that enough that somebody's going to take a stretch on him? Probably not,
right.
Especially in this really very weird season we just went through.
So, what's your take? Do you think he takes the opportunity to maybe go overseas, or do you think he uses that and comes back?
Hey, well, I'm a Terp fan, so right. Everybody coming back. Marcel right. coming back. Wiggins coming back. Galen, you can decide if you want. I mean, I would probably take you because Lord knows we're going to miss on the transfer portal.
Right.
So you had some decent minutes, and you showed me a nice little hook that was pretty good. So if you want to come play again, I think we might have a spot for you. I just hope it's off the bench next year.
He's over here acting like a turge.
Yeah,
right. He's the next turge. Is that what this is?
Speaking of turge and speaking of coming back, obviously – if you ask most Terp fans out there, I think most fans are about up to here with Mark Turgeon and would like to see a new face come in. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Who do they bring in? Do they even have the money to bring anybody in? They really don't. But here's the thing. Every publication out there has Mark Turgeon's name tied to the Oklahoma job and has him in the front seat of potentially landing that job. So do you think Mark Turgeon entertains that offer? Do you think the University of Maryland's trying to push him out the door? What's your take on the Turgeon situation?
I think Turge has no buyout, and I don't know about you, but if I could get fired and make the exact same amount of money as I would with a job,
yeah,
I'd get fired. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to sit this. I think they're probably going to work out an extension eventually. I think it's going to be way too long for any of our comforts. And because of that, we're going to miss out on people in the transfer portal because they're going to offer him an extension with, like, tiny, tiny buyout money. And he's going to be like, no, call your bluff.
Right.
And so we're going to have to do that back and forth for a while before this gets going.
And that's the problem. You bring up the transfer portal. The longer this kind of goes on unresolved, you're not going to land those big names in the transfer portal because nobody wants to come to an unsettled situation. And it's the same thing even with recruits. We lost out on the point guard, Bobby Pettiford, out of North Carolina. That was a four-star guard that was potentially coming here. He ended up committing earlier today to Kansas. We were in the running for that. I don't know how much the Turgeon situation.
A bad man like Kansas does. Come on now.
No, I know, but still, it's if you want.
How Kansas doing the tournament?
They got their bag man did just fine. He was there handing out McDonald's.
But if you want to revamp this roster, you got to have some sort of continuity. And it starts with your head coach. And if your head coach is a question mark, how much effort is he putting into really recruiting these guys and bringing these transfers in?
We talked about, too, like we've talked about it before, is the X's and O's. Turge is not a big X's and O's guy. And some guys need the X's and O's to strive, right, and to get better. Have we seen, you know, a few guys here or there that have flourished under Mark Turgeon? Yes. But if Turgeon would play a little bit more inside-out basketball and really get down into the X's and O's instead of just focusing on recruiting, maybe the program might be better. That's why, you know, I've said I like Turge for his recruiting ability. If you can supplement him with somebody who's damn good at X's and O's, I'm all for it. But you're not going to be able to afford both those guys.
Well, that was part of the reason they brought in Bino. Bino was supposed to be the better X and O's guy. Like that was the whole reason they brought him in from Michigan. But
how much of an influence does he have if your head coach isn't allowing him to influence?
The sideline plays haven't changed at all, so not much on that.
Right. That's very true. All right, well, sticking with the basketball side of things before we get into football, got to talk Lady Terps. I mean, this was a historic season for them. We talked about it the last couple of weeks, how Brenna Fries was able to kind of put this hodgepodge of players together when they had a mass exodus. They're all five of their starters left, you know, the year prior. For them to be able to come together and play as good as they did, they were one of the highest scoring women's basketball teams of all time. You know, had one of the best three-point shooters in the country on their team. You know, they only lost two games going into this tournament, yeah. Right? I had high expectations to get to the Sweet 16, which is still a great season. But, man, everything that could have gone wrong for the Terps went wrong in that game against Texas.
Yeah, it was a really strange game. Texas did exactly what we hoped to do to Alabama. They were one of the top defensive teams in the country, and Maryland was the top offensive team in the country.
Right.
And they slowed them down, but also the Terps kind of slowed themselves down. Owusu did not look like herself.
She looked great for like the first 5 minutes of that game. Because honestly, this was the first time I got to watch her play. And I thought, she's a truck, and she can she can handle the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, it's amazing how graceful she is with the ball while right. not looking graceful anywhere else.
I ain't going one-on-one with her.
No.
She would destroy anyone in this room and, like, half the dudes on our team.
The problem that
I ain't going one-on-one with her. Ain't not going to happen.
The problem I saw with her was, though, she had that success early in the, like, that first 5 minutes of the game. The Terps got off to, like, a 9-0 start, right? And she was, like, 7 points of those nine at the beginning of the game, right? That I feel like she got too confident in herself. That's the thing with this Terp squad is that they have six players that were averaging in double figures. And I think she became too focused on being a dominant player and not passing the ball around and not getting other teammates involved like she had all year. That's just something that I think went wrong with the squad in this game. What was that?
I don't know, something playing.
Somebody it's me playing. Watching the show on my phone that you told me that I never watched.
Look at that view coming in.
There it is.
Mid-show.
So I think a lot of things went wrong. Wusu herself, I mean, she had this like little three-minute moment where she got three fouls, all stupid ticky-tack fouls. One, she was like missed a shot, and she was angry and falling, and so she shoved off somebody to pick up her second foul in like 30 seconds. So that went bad. We had the number one three-point shooter in the country that missed a wide-open look to tie the game with, like, 30 seconds left, and it just went off from there. And she wasn't good all game, pretty much. I mean, she's averaging.
She hit one or two early on, and then after that she just
averages almost 50%, and I think she was, like, less than 20 in that game. It just light shined too bright there. It didn't look overly like they were doing a good job defending her. I mean, they were. Obviously, they're a great defensive team. But it wasn't like she wasn't getting open looks. She wasn't hitting those either.
Either way, credit to Brenna Freeze. Credit to the Ladies Terp team. I mean, they had
a hell of a year.
Might not have ended quite how they wanted. I hope some of these players come back and they run it back again, because just having that another offseason together to kind of gel, the talent that they have is undeniable. There's no reason that team shouldn't be in the running for a national title next year.
Damon Evans was out there with the women Terps, or Lady Terps, and so hopefully now he's home taking care of that Turgeon situation we talked about.
Yeah.
On top of that, you know, you just got to see how crazy these Maryland fans are. I got to call them out. I mean, people were talking trash about Brenda Freeze after this loss like she's a nobody. She might be the best coach Maryland has seen ever.
Yeah.
In any sport. Like, he put Gary with her even. Like, she's unbelievably good at what she does. She's one of the most winning coaches in the history, and people are still complaining. And then today we got an ACL injury they would talk about, and people are saying, fire Loxley. Like, he tore the kid's ACL in high school.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Get your head out of your ass. What are you doing? Just find another team to root for.
So, speaking of football was underway. We brought this up last week on the show. You guys weren't here. That, you know, they talked about, you know, the spring football kind of starting, getting up. And from what I understand, the two of you made a trip down to College Park, or as you both like to say, you both just happened to be down there.
We had a breakfast at a secret location down on the campus there on this weekend. I guess it was a Saturday.
Yeah, a little business meeting you guys are going to find out about soon.
Yeah, we got some news coming here soon, some fun news. Just make sure you stay tuned, Shell and Tell Pod.
You're going to want to see this.
Yeah, for sure, big news. So, yeah, spring football got underway. As we're walking around on campus, we decided to walk over towards the practice field and just so happened to see that the squad was practicing.
We were invited
because we bought our cardboard cutouts for the stadium, and the stadium cutouts were to be picked up that day.
Right.
Now, there was no sign that said, hey, walk over to the practice fields. But, you know, if I'm going to make an hour drive
while we're here,
a piece of cardboard, I'm going to take a walk on the campus.
Right. But I bet there was no sign that said don't.
There was no sign that said don't. And it happened, just so happened to be their first day in pads. So I was pretty excited. It kind of like the poetry, the whole thing. The fact that we're wrapping up, we're going to end this 2020, like, fake cardboard fan terribleness, and all of a sudden this is on the same day that we're getting back into the next, let's bring fans in, let's get hitting, let's have a full season. Please, let's make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, there seemed to be, we didn't stay for very long. We kind of looked and stayed for a few minutes, but it seemed like the team had a good energy about them. They, you know, didn't get a whole lot of like seeing the, you know, the X's and O's. Didn't get a lot to see a plays.
Drew's damn pads. They're just warming up.
Do both of you also find it interesting that the cardboard cutouts didn't seem to make their way to the studio today?
They're going in the other studio. They're going in Ryan's studio down
the
basement.
We're working on some.
Yeah, I think we need to create a third show somewhere. We're going to find a topic.
Right. But speaking of spring, right, that brings the next, I guess, social gathering that we haven't had at the stadium in a long time. That's going to be the spring game where they finally announced that they're going to allow fans to be at the stadium.
They did announce there are going to be fans in the stadium. I'm not sure it's going to happen because since then, so they made the announcement that the fans were in the stadium. I haven't even talked to Fred about this, so he might be finding out for the first time. So they made the announcement they're going to have fans in the stadium. Back channels of all the people were tied in with the Terps are like, let's go, let's tailgate, let's do all these things. And I'm like, these numbers of 3,000 to 4,000 people we get a normal spring game are going to be 12,000 to 15,000. They don't realize what's happening.
Right.
But they might realize what's happening because they just put out a post about the Olympic sports and their ticketing process. So they're also allowing people at the lacrosse games, the soccer, baseball, all that stuff. Lacrosse games is actually a pretty decent number because they're doing it in Bird Stadium and it's huge, whatever. But the other sports are pretty much like friends and family. No sales are going out. It's going to be like, you know, you have to be a bigwig on the Terps to get into any games, basically that kind of thing. And they put in there that they are announced, we'll have a separate email coming out with the spring game, like rules and regulations.
So you anticipate.
I anticipate no tailgating because no tailgating was listed for the lacrosse.
Well, yeah, no tailgating. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of things just like there was for the Orioles. I mean, you're probably gonna see 25% capacity because that seems to be the average across the board.
Well, even 25% capacity would be a normal spring game for them. That's so. I don't think that would be
like an epic spring game. That's like 11,000 people for the Orioles every game.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, because like he said, typically the spring game, like when we went 2 years
ago, do they only sell to the lower seating for the lower seating bowl?
And not only that, it was only half the lower seating bowl. So then we were still spread out.
Right.
We were socially distanced.
There were probably 2 years ago when we were there, I'd say there were probably about 1,000 people there, roughly. Maybe a little bit more.
Really? Remember how crowded the food was? I was going as high as
'cause it was the one food stand that was open?
5,000? Really? Okay. Maybe
as high as 5. But anyway, it's still not.
Somebody on the casting couch looked that up.
30,000 people.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they set it up. Either way, hopefully we get to go in there again because that was a lot of fun getting out there. Yeah. You get to see some of the young guys. This is when Demas jumped off the mat for us the first time 2 years ago. And
as long as it's not pouring down rain, I'm going to be there. And I'm really hoping with social distancing, they will have the whole lower bowl open, and therefore I'll get to go to my happy place in Section 7 and see some of you guys come visit me.
That's right. All right, man. So let's talk a little bit about the latest news that we got is ACLU strikes again with this Terp squad. Yeah. One we kind of knew about a month ago.
All of a sudden, IMS wants to break something. Like, we haven't been talking about it for a month.
Easy, Ryan. Easy. But no, one of the recent quarterback commitments that we got was the kid Udinski out of, what is it, VCU?
Virginia Military Institute at VMI.
Oh, VMI, right. 6'4", 224-pound quarterback who committed to Maryland in January. The process was he was going to play spring ball with them and then come over to us and play with us. Well,
which
at least
we both
be a backup.
Were worried about, and we're right.
Yeah, kind of took care of itself as he ended up tweaking his ACL. Now, apparently, they're saying he might still be eligible, that they're hoping four and a half months from now he'll be recovered from this thing. I don't know how real. Listen, I know ACL procedures and recoveries and rehabs have gotten better over the years because, I mean, ACLs were basically a death sentence for at least a year just a few years back. But now you're seeing guys come back faster and faster than ever. Four and a half months, that's really quick.
Must have been a really tiny tear in some kind of magic alien surgery.
Yeah. Aliens.
Sushi did that.
But I mean, he was tearing things up though before he got this injury. Tearing things up.
Yeah, he did.
See what I did there.
He didn't even know he was tearing things up. Yeah, he was 4-0, including the game where he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. He tore it in the fourth quarter, returned in overtime to win the game. So he ends his junior year, I guess, with 4-0 record, including that overtime win. And I mean, dude's a real deal. I mean, 57 attempts, 353 yards in that game. He had the crazy touchdown to interception ratio that he could really be a solid backup or now if he redshirts this year and Talia's gone, maybe he's a starter for us someday. Who knows? Yeah.
Makes me uneasy, though, because we all know how quickly things can change the quarterback position. I think we're all a little on edge with that, especially at the University of Maryland.
Seen a lot of years of linebackers playing quarterback. Exactly. You got anybody, Joveth?
Right. So right now, I guess it's Talia is still the only scholarship quarterback that's on the roster right now, right?
Yeah, he's the only one. And then, of course, you got Eric Najarian that played pretty well in the walk-on role right. that he had last year.
If he has a good showing in spring camp and start, do you think they offer him a scholarship at some point?
I don't think they have to, from what I've heard. I think he might be one of the kids, too. It's the University of Maryland. They're all smart. I think he might be there on academic scholarship anyway. Okay. But they definitely only have one scholarship left, so they're not, like, swimming in scholarships. And they definitely need either a quarterback or an offensive lineman with that spot.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to use it on the player they already got.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I still think that they need an offensive lineman, an effective offensive lineman, not even just a depth guy, you know, somebody that could come in and make an impact. Because
yeah, I'm sure somebody's going to graduate here in the next couple of months and we'll grab him.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. So
I think, just kind of round that out, how impactful and smart for Maryland would it be if they – got an offensive lineman scholarship and called it the Jordan McNair scholarship?
Well, there's a lot of things in the work with Jordan McNair. There is a Jordan McNair scholarship. There's also, they did settle with his father for a significant amount of money. It was like $3.5 million, but also it was more than that. It was like Jordan's, I don't know what that clicking is. It was like Jordan McNair scholarship. There's like a program where it's openness and heat-related incidents and all these things. So there's definitely other things. I've been in talks with Mr. McNair, and he's probably going to be on the show at some point or get more deeply into that.
That's awesome. All right, so I know, Joveth, you and I talked a little bit about this prior to the show starting, right? So the one terp that I think is getting the most hype right now around the NFL draft, former running back Jake Funk, right, who has been – lighting up pretty much every statistic that you can put out there, all the stats that you can line up on pro day, the metrics, the numbers that he's putting up are absolutely absurd. We all know that this guy's got the work ethic, right? He's come back from two major knee injuries and rehab both times and came back this year and proved why he is who he is. I mean, he came back and had a great year. What's your, I guess, opinion on Jake Funk? Do you think he's draftable? If he is draftable, where does he get drafted? Where do you see him fitting in the NFL?
Well, I mean, he's definitely a stud. He's everything that you said he is, and I think that he's going to be an incredibly versatile player that you're going to see playing in a different role, or at least a modified role from what you've seen him at Maryland. One thing you mentioned, his pro day.
Yeah.
And pro day stats does not a player make, but this time of year it's what we are looking at. It will make or break some players with some teams. Right. Absolutely killed it at his pro day. They you mentioned it to me. There's this and again, this is an analytics thing,
yeah,
where they take these numbers and they crunch them. This thing called relative athletic score. So if you go onto Twitter and you search like hashtag RAS for any player, and usually they will crunch these numbers a day or two after that player's pro day. So if there's somebody that you want to look at, it is a metric scale 0 to 10. And again, these are not definitive of what somebody's career in the NFL is going to look like, but out of 10, he scored a 9.48.
It's ridiculous.
Off the charts. Now, I mean, like I said, he's a versatile player, assuming that he can stay healthy, that is not only going to be a running back out of the backfield, but I can see him lining up almost as a wide receiver, potentially even as more of a primary role, and a guy that just, you know, is going to get out there, and I think he's going to have the ability to get open and create some space.
So with his size, do you think he's more of a, you're saying, you know, wide receiver, maybe more of like a slot guy?
Yeah, definitely. But I think that, you know, he's definitely not a top 100 player, but he certainly helped himself with his pro day. Here's the thing. When it comes to where guys go, there is no way to tell, other than like the top couple of guys.
Right.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time. We'll have players that if 25 teams are contacting one of our players, like that's probably a situation, pretty accurate number-wise on what we're dealing with our running back with Spencer Brown.
Right.
I guarantee you that he gets drafted by one of those other seven. Like 9 out of 10 times, the teams that you don't hear about that aren't necessarily on the radar for that player, you know, and I've not been doing this an incredible amount of time, but some of my colleagues have been doing it for 10, 15 years, and they're like, it almost always happens. You know, this player that I represented got drafted by that team who had never called. This guy got, same story, over and over again. It's the team that doesn't talk. So even if I had the inside track, if I represented him or otherwise, I could sit here and tell you who's talking about my guys and to my guys, but it certainly doesn't mean that he goes there. But I definitely see him, you know, probably still a day three draft pick, but he's going to go.
That's definitely an interesting take. I'm curious to get Ryan's take on this.
Yeah, we had talked about this prior, and he had said that, you know, he thinks he might get drafted as a wide receiver primarily versus being a running back. I hadn't really thought about that prospect just because I think Jake Funk, again, you can't question his work ethic. You can't question his athletic ability, even with the injuries and everything that he's had. I personally think that this guy, I think he's an early day three pick. I think he's a late fourth, early fifth pick is where I see him going. I think he'll be a running back personally. Ryan, what's your take on Funk?
I mean, I see him as a running back. I never really saw much out of him in the receiving game. There were a few plays here and there. But we've always been so stacked at wide receiver, we didn't need that.
Right.
Like, that's one of the few places the Terps can actually bring in talent for some reason.
Right.
So if we're seeing it as a tight end, then I'd be like, no, you're wrong. So we've done it last year. But, I mean, I could see it. The dude is a chiseled beast. Like, that pro day, I was like, they need to rename the weight room for Jake Funk. So I can't imagine him not being able to get to the next level and make it work. Of course, just like every player I've talked about, I wanted him back selfishly because I want to see the Terps win. But good for Jake. I think he's going to do well. I really hope him for a, you know, fourth, hell, even a third round running back or something. Let's go.
Right.
I can see, but, you know, like we've talked before, we talked about a little bit when we were predicting where we would go, that I saw more of like a Bill Belichick draft pick.
Yeah.
Somebody that, you know, he could use in 6 different places on the field.
Right.
And that he could use different ways. Wide receiver wasn't really in my head with those 6 different ways. I was thinking more like a gunner, a running back, you know, things like that. But,
right.
But I could see it. I mean, he could be the next Edelman. Why not?
Yeah. Never know. I just, like I said, I think personally, I think numbers wise, he's going to be the most productive pro back from the Terps since like Lamont Jordan, is my opinion. I have high hopes for this kid. I think in the right system, in the right fit, he can be that, because you cannot question his work ethic. When you look at these numbers, again, I'm not a big, you know, underwear Olympics guy. These numbers are
literally underwear Olympics.
These numbers are ridiculous. The numbers that you pulled up, he was like, I think, ranked 34th out of all running backs, like for the last like 1,100 years. Or something that have
Since
been drafted.
1987, I think he was 38th
or something. Yeah,
pretty
something
close
like that.
On those numbers. That,
you can't deny that kind of athletic talent, right? And you can't, when you compliment talent like that, some people are just gifted. Athletically gifted, they don't have the drive, they don't have the work ethic, they don't have the...
Because they've never had to do it.
The want-to, right. This guy's had to come back and prove himself multiple times,
right?
And he's done it.
And it's like just, well-rounded numbers, too. It's like all in different places where you don't expect those things.
And he's not a guy I see like getting drafted and being like, I made it. He's going to get drafted and continue to prove
Put him in Carolina behind Christian McCaffrey and let him learn from that player.
Yeah.
That would be pretty dirty. Epic.
Let somebody else pay McCaffrey when that happens.
and it's not just perception that he puts in the work. What a lot of the players that we're recruiting don't know about us as agents, or at least myself and my partner, is that we reach out to the strength and conditioning coaches, the position coaches, and everything like that at the college teams. Who is this guy?
Right.
Talk to me about his workout habits, his work ethic. All of that kind of stuff. These guys don't necessarily know that we're making those calls and getting that information, because at the end of the day, I don't want to represent a guy that I'm going to spend 15, 20, 30 grand sending someplace to train, and he's going to go, I can say whatever I want here, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to go fuck off somewhere
right.
and burn my money and not do what he's there to do. You know, right. Usually training between the end of the season and your pro day is 8 weeks of do the damn thing.
Right.
And there are guys.
I see what he did there.
Yeah. There
it's
are
amazing
guys.
He doesn't watch the show that he's going to pull it off.
So it's, you know, we find out who are these guys. And I will tell you right now, there was nothing but glowing things. And these guys don't blow smoke up your ass when you're asking them questions about certain players.
And he comes from the pedigree. We've talked about this. I mean, his family has a long history of athletics going back to his mother, his father, his brother, like everybody in that
family. We had his brother on Shell and Tell, his physical therapist brother, Josh Funk. And it got delayed, our interview, by an hour. And the reason was that Jake called him and was like, hey, I want to work on this today, and like ran over. This is mid-season. He's already working out 6 days a week with the football team. He's got games and things. And he's still showing up at his brother's PT clinic to get more work in. The dude's work ethic's off the charts. Yeah. I thought Reese Mona worked. This guy puts him to shame.
Well, guys, that's it for the Birdland BS segment. I hope you really enjoyed that inside look into the conversion from Terp to hopefully NFL contributor. Don't think that any of us really thought at the beginning of last season that Jake Funk could be one of the top producing NFL running backs out of the Terps in quite some time, but there's a shot. There really is a chance that he could do that. And, you know, credit to him. Nobody's worked harder for it. Nobody's went through more adversity for it, especially in their 4 years in college. Like, that's all we're privy to, you know. We don't get to see these guys' whole lifetime of work. Lots of people have worked really hard to get where they're coming from. But these 4 years have just been out in the public. I mean, the guy has one to no ACLs at any one time. So hopefully these surgeons earned their money. It sure looks like they did a really good job. We can keep this guy stable. Maybe he's the next Manny Machado. He just needed a couple surgeries to make those knees pretty serious and in tight, and now he's good to go for now on. So wish Jake nothing but the best of luck. Wish Josh nothing but the best of luck. I mean, he's sure been a big part of Jake's success as well. Well, hope you enjoyed our Terps coverage this week. You're going to hear from us again soon. Got a big show we're recording on our own outside of the Birdland BS window. Recording a whole Shell and Tell segment. Got big developments. I think you're going to enjoy this one. So like I said, make sure you're subscribed to Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere you can find us. Check out birdlandbs.com. Really cool little website put together there. It's got clothing, different stuff on there. And guys, let's keep this going. We got good news about the spring game. I'm holding my breath. We'll find out what these rules are, but at least right now they're saying we're going. So until next time, everybody stay well. Go Terps. Till next time, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.